The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with John Gilroy of Lectromech, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Well, we're kind of 1 month into the national season, so I thought we'd have a situation where we have all the bases loaded. So we have three people in the studio this morning. We've got first base, second base, and third ready to score. And all of these people are on the Dream Team, and this is a Dream Team from F5 Networks. In the studio, we have Dan Beeman, Lou Giglio, and Mark Fornoy. And they're all managers for federal systems integration for F5 Networks. Gentlemen, how are you doing today?
Everything's good, John.
Yeah, fantastic. Good.
All loose, ready to steal. Yeah, steal absolutely. Second and third. We'll put a triple steal on or something. It's really good. You know, many of my listeners are talking about the cloud and hybrid cloud, and there's all kinds of transitions in town here. And there are listeners I know who are being strongly encouraged to maybe slice and dice up their applications, keep some behind a firewall, put them out there, and they want to be responsible. They want to do it in a safe manner. And so I think what F5 Networks provides is ways they can accomplish that task and not have any kind of a speed hit and increase performance and increase security. And so that's what we want to bring F5 Networks in to talk about, exactly how they can help my listeners today make the move to the cloud and make it simply and effectively and save money in the process. But before we begin, we got to establish some kind of credibility. So, Dan, tell us all about your background, how you wound up with F5 Networks, please.
Sure thing. Well, I started a career in internet technology, working back in the day for a company called UUNet, which some may be familiar with. Took that abroad and ended up transitioning into mobility. Ran the public sector for Vodafone for about 5 years, defense contracts, mobile work, consolidation, and then ended up at my last place prior to F5 was Samsung with mobile security. But I think the driver to get to F5 was largely around the applications, security, and how that links with mobile and where we're going with that. And I really wanted to look at the data center, so it's been paramount.
It ain't about the hard drive, ain't about the mobile phone, it's about the apps, right?
I mean, 100%.
Maybe in the future, maybe the apps are going to be in your smartphone or your watch or something.
Yeah, they're even there today.
The apps are still going to be there.
Absolutely.
Worry about security of the apps. Lou, your background, please.
Yeah, so I got out of the military in 1999, landed in D.C. because I had a clearance. I was an Army Intel guy. Did a short stint in the intelligence community and then realized that I could have a lot more fun and make a little bit more money selling technology like the rest of my friends were. Like Dan, I started out at a company called UUNet, you know, the premier backbone provider around the turn of the century. And then moved up through both commercial and federal sales organizations, having leadership positions and being a sales guy and just a general technologist.
So both of you have a pretty wide range of experience here to contribute
Absolutely,
to the conversation.
Yeah.
Great. Mark, I hope you work for UUNet, Mark.
I did not, unfortunately.
Oh, you're out of here.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Go back to take a shower. Go back to the dugout.
No, I did 20 years in the Marine Corps as a communications officer. Did a couple of tours in Iraq, actually deploying IT applications and infrastructure, and then went on to Special Operations Command. After wrapping up the career, I landed at a solid-state drive manufacturer. We're selling. We got bought it by Western Digital. Mm-hmm. Moved over to Red Hat, where I was deploying OpenShift, OpenStack configurations for military customers. And then I found F5, and I think F5 has an incredible capability to really support the mission that I was focused on for 20 years. So that's what drew me to it.
Interesting. I hope that the listeners realize that many of the agencies these gentlemen work with may not want to be identified. And so we're going to talk in general terms about, you know, moving to the cloud and applications and securing and locking them down. And we're going to toss out all kinds of special words, and hopefully we're going to define them for the audience and get a better idea of maybe how to control this transition, especially if you're in a safe or secure environment. You know, Lou, I think we've had F5 Networks on the maybe 2 years ago or something, and we talked about break and inspect. And I turned to, I think it was you or someone else, and I said, hey, the last thing I want to do is go over to the Pentagon and break and inspect. I'm going to get in trouble. So you go out there to the Pentagon and you break and inspect? I mean, my goodness, that's dangerous.
Break and inspect packets, that's right.
It's packets.
Right, so any, you know, as we talked about before, and some of the listeners may know, the rise of SSL has been, you know, fairly significant over the Last few years, where some estimates are around 70% of all internet traffic.
And I think what listeners might know is SSL, of course, you go to site HTTPS. It's a secure socket layer. And what that means is it adds a little bit more security. And by the way, Google is giving a preference to commercial sites with the S on it. And so it's not only smart, it also is beneficial in the commercial world.
Absolutely. But along with the good guys using SSL, the bad guys are also using SSL. So the capability that we have, because of where we sit in the architecture of you know, the general data center layout, is we've got the ability to take that SSL traffic, decrypt it, inspect it, pass it off to one of a number of security devices or vendors, re-encrypt, and then continue to that traffic, pass it back to the application instance or the end user.
Because just because it's encrypted doesn't mean it's safe. Hmm?
That's correct.
That's the between lines you're saying there. Yeah. And if you do any study on this, and you can go to Google and type in all kinds of words, you find out that SSL is growing at about 20% annually.
That's right.
And so if you're not going to be involved in the SSL world, you're going to be in big trouble. And that's the situation. Many of my listeners are in secure environments, and they have SSL, and they go, hey, I'm going to put my feet up and smoke a cigar. Everything's great, huh? Kind of a dangerous position to take, huh, Lou?
Yeah, we have – there's no shortage of news events that in recent history where the threat hasn't been external, right? The internal threat is also – growing like the external threat. So the insider threat attack vector is something that everyone's got to be aware of and prepared for. And our technology, specifically the break and inspect piece, gives organizations the ability to look at that traffic and make sure that there are no good packets leaving.
Yeah, and I think that's the last time we talked about the front door. And people got the armed guard, the Marines there in the front door, and the back door's open. The
That's
guy's
right.
coming and going all day long.
That's right.
And so you're so worried about, you know, what's coming in, and packets actually can be leaving the network, and then they're gone.
That's it. Nope, that's the insider threat. And anything you've heard most recently, you know, from WikiLeaks to Snowden to everyone else, that's the biggest risk of data loss.
I just finished the Epstein biography of Snowden, and, well... doesn't leave a good taste in my mouth, so bad things happen. There's a group called CERT, C-E-R-T, not the breath mint, but security folks, CERT, and they claim that insider threats can be intentional and unintentional. And there may be people listening to this with, you know, the best intentions in mind, and maybe they have their CISSP and their checklist certificates, and they're all happy, and guess what? They can get hit, can't they?
Absolutely. Yeah, you can. It's very easily unknowingly compromise your organization. Whether it's sending sensitive information, unclassified information, to yourself via Gmail or sending it to a friend or anything like that would fall into accidental or non-intentional.
So we got apps that are coming and going, and all kinds of malicious things can happen. We're trying to inspect them. So is this what an application controller is, or what exactly is an application connector?
Sure. So, application delivery controller. Okay. That's our physical or virtual device. It makes sure your apps, either in the data center or in the cloud, are secure, fast, and available. So, we want to make sure your apps are secured to your users that may be mobile. If they're downrange, maybe in the military or in a corporate environment, that they're fast. They're getting the same experience that your team does in the corporate enterprise, and that they're always available.
You know, Dan, I teach at Georgetown, and when they have a class that has cybersecurity, it fills up within an hour. I mean, the classroom is full, and I teach a course in digital strategy, and they kind of straggle in late, but I get my share of students. And so this is really a challenge for many of the listeners, just trying to keep up with what's going on. Are there any events coming up that maybe you can suggest they can attend and learn more about managing these apps?
Yeah, one of the marquee events we have coming up is our federal symposium at the museum. Mm-hmm. If you Google F5 Federal, you can find out all the details. It's coming up on the 22nd of June, and we'll have some guest speakers there, as well as our team supporting and providing as much information as we can to help you.
You know, Mark, what I like about events is that there are people who are listening to you right now. And they may not be very interested in emailing you or connecting or even calling you. However, at an event, someone can walk up to you and say, well, geez, Mark, you've you've got 20 years experience. You've been here and there. You've been knocked around. You've seen bad things happen. Maybe I can ask you a question about something that happened to a friend of mine. Events are good for that, aren't they?
We'll have our systems engineers as well, so we'll be able to deep dive into any questions or technologies that you want to explore.
Yeah. Lou, you going to participate in this event too?
Yeah, absolutely. We'll have the entire team there as well, some executives. To hit the lineup real quick, a few of the keynote speakers are hyper relevant and subject matter experts, and we're not coming at it from an F5 perspective. We're trying to be as agnostic or vendor technology agnostic as possible. So as part of the lineup, we'll have John Keese, who's the former president of Autonomic Resources and kind of like the father of FedRAMP. John and his team are responsible for the first ever FedRAMP certification, and as a result, considered, again, to be the father of federal cloud. He took all the bumps and bruises and established the swim lane for folks to.
Yeah, let's take a quick break. We'll talk more about who's going to be at this event and what they can learn about managing your apps on all kinds of different devices in the cloud, outside the cloud, hybrid environments, all kinds. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We have the dream team from F5 Networks in here. We have Dan Beeman, Lou Giglio, and Mark Fornoy. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We're talking about F5 Networks. We have the Dream Team, Dan Beeman, Lou Giglio, and Mark Flournoy in from F5 Networks, talking about the cloud, hybrid cloud, moving to the cloud, security, keeping your eye on apps. And right before the break, we talked about an event coming up, and Lou was talking about some of the folks who are going to be speaking there. Just real quickly, who are the couple of folks that maybe we might be interested in?
Well, aside from the greatest event moderator in the history of ever.
Oh, yeah.
we're going to have John Keese, as I mentioned, who we noted as the father of federal cloud. And then also Matthew Braverman, who is the supervisory agent, the Washington Field Office FBI. He's he'll discuss
Ooh.
Tactics and techniques of the FBI cyber crimes unit.
Ooh.
So sure to be a hot topic.
Yeah. So that's a museum. It's free. You just walk
June
in.
June 22nd. If you register, you'll be able to pick from a list of classes to attend, training events, the whole thing.
Get certified for F5 stuff,
absolutely,
too.
Absolutely, yeah.
CE credits, all kinds of stuff. That's it's metro accessible. It's great. Now, some listeners may have attended the event last year. The problem with technology is who's on first? Here, back to the basketball. Who's on first? What's on second?
Right.
So what's on second this year?
So last year, we kind of focused on the SSL breaking and spec. But, from the last 12 months, our product development engineers have been keenly focused on our customer's mission. So as you're probably aware, there's this thing out there called cloud. And most of our customers are either there or on their way there. Because we sit at the core of the data center, managing and securing the enterprise applications, their expectations are that we should be able to give them the same set of controls regardless of where the application sits, whether it's on-prem or in Amazon, Azure, pick your cloud flavor. As a result, we've developed a technology named Application Connector, and it's essentially a piece of code that allows you to leverage your existing F5 Big IP to exert the same control, same security, and same level of knowledge over your information applications wherever it may sit.
So essentially, it's data center technology where you don't care who makes the hard drive, you don't even care what cloud it's in. You care about securing that app and make sure it's fast and secure.
The app is the app, regardless of where it sits.
That's the golden boy. For years and years and years, I've talked about hard drive size and access and deframing. And now they take hard drives, they pop a new one in, throw them away. Who cares? It's disposable. It's like a disposable lighter. Yeah, the app is everything.
Yeah, the other thing I'd like to highlight, though, is the other customer-driven development that we've been working on is that we've achieved a FIPS-level certification for our virtual edition. And this is particularly relevant to our tactical customers downrange. There is a requirement for our technology in a small of a form factor as possible that Mark will kind of touch on in a little bit.
And that's the key, the FIPS virtual, that's the
absolutely
key. Now, Dan, I'm going to read a question for you, and I want you to jump in here and tell me if I'm out of my mind or not. But I got a quote right here, and here's the quote. I go to different sites for security information, and here's a quote. Most agencies don't have dedicated professionals who focus on insider threats. Do you think it's a fair statement for the agencies you work with?
It is. In some instances, I would say that's absolutely correct. We're getting more and more focused on on security of applications and insider threats as well. So, you know, I know even in F5, we're deploying that on our own networks, where we're challenging, you know, the connectivity that we use from a day-to-day perspective with using our platform. So that's kind of one example that's becoming something that we want to give more attention to. And I think you'll see agencies ramp up for that.
You know, Lou, there's events all over the town. You can go to an event every day and get all kinds of rubber chicken and get fat and everything else. And I go to the Amazon Web Services event. Last year it was jammed. You couldn't even turn around. But you don't care. Amazon Web Services, Microsoft, whoever happens to be, F5 can be right in and playing the game.
Absolutely. So we're available on both of the major cloud players' marketplaces. That is GA or... 2 weeks ago, guys?
Yep.
So we're easy
just
to get.
Just recently, another thing that's
absolutely.
New.
Yeah, and there's also the option to BYOL, right? You can bring your own licensing. So that's, if depending on how procurement works and supply chain, you can either buy direct from F5, one of our partners, or from any one of the cloud service marketplaces.
So where does the application connector fit in when going to AWS or Microsoft or whatever?
So like Lou mentioned before, application connector is really it's a lightweight proxy you deploy inside the public cloud. So that could be AWS or Azure. It discovers your apps via secure connection back to our F5 deployed. That's deployed in your data center, and then your cloud provider enables the app management, app services. That means you can have the same security, performance, availability that you offer to your enterprise on-site customers at the cloud edge.
Many vendors have different types of platforms, and Dan, I think you have something called the Big IP platform. Is that so? What's the Big IP? Is it just physically bigger than everything else?
Big IP is kind of the name of our product from a physical and software based solution for a virtual edition. That's just the branding that we put behind it. It is our core load balancer technology, and then we've gone ahead and virtualized that as well to make that an offering. So
yeah. Yes.
There's actually a cool backstory to the Big IP name. So what the ADC or application delivery controller does from a technology standpoint is gives the visibility of a single IP address for all the back end systems, right? So as that connection comes through, it hits the ADC, it gives the appearance of a single IP, so hence the nickname Big IP.
Ah, so it covers a lot of bases baseball theme here. You know, so anything else new coming on for this event that you haven't talked about or released in the last 6-7 months?
Well, I just want to go back to Application Connector and make people understand it's a proxy-based solution. There's no public IP addresses that are needed in the public cloud environment. So that reduces our organization's risk surface area, points of entry, without impeding the ease of access. That's basically one of the primary benefits of using public cloud. So you can inspect and terminate safely on the edge. You can allow your apps to focus on processing transactions using that cloud compute.
Lou, I'm going to toss a quote at you, and you can get upset or yell or scream, whatever you want to do. Here's the quote. You probably heard this. We like to think we don't have any insider threats. I imagine you've heard some people say that, and they discover something new the next day, huh?
Well, while probably true for most folks, we do live in a day and age of nation state actors. We live in a day and age of political actors. We live in a day and age of folks that are upset about things.
Yeah.
And you never know what's going to be the trigger that inspires someone to remove information that they shouldn't remove, whether it be classified or other.
10 years ago, I was taking all these certification tests. You get the initials and letters, after name, and everything. And I had to memorize all the stuff about role-based access control and DMZ and everything else and firewalls. And back in the day, there was just one kind of firewall. Now there's many different firewalls. Are there such thing as a web application firewall today, too? Is that what people can use to protect themselves?
Yeah, absolutely. So, many of the attacks that are focused at organizations are focused on layer 7, which is the web layer. So if you've got a public-facing website that has, any PII on it or, sensitive information or even not, right? So they can plant malware within a layer 7 or a web application so that, it's collecting information as your users come and hit it. And that can, that's definitely a place of compromise.
So, Dan, at this event, I'm just reading this guy's name. This is Matthew Braverman. He's a supervisor, special agent, field office, FBI cyber crimes unit. I'm going to have some good questions for him. How about you going to raise your hand and ask him questions? This is the guy to ask. You know, this is like the horse's mouth.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's going to be providing some great intelligence for everybody and thought leadership. So we look forward to it. I'll be asking a ton of questions. We hope he scares people.
Yeah, right? Like, we hope he scares people. Yeah, that'll be the quote from the conference. Come on down and get scared. And probably you need to be scared to do some kind of change manager, have people change themselves. Let's take a break, come back. We'll talk more about application delivery controllers, malicious threats, web application firewalls, and talk about what F5 can do to help my listeners maybe avert some of these front page news stories that can drive people crazy. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Dan Beeman, Lou Giglio, and Mark Fornoy. They're the dream team from F5 Networks. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have the dream team from F5 Networks. We have Dan Beeman, Lou Giglio, and Mark Fornoy. All kinds of experience in federal IT here and there, inside the United States, outside the United States, and military situations and all kinds of situations. And earlier in the show, we kind of tossed out this thing, FIPS. And I kind of, you know, glibly said, well, so FIPS normally is in a hardware piece of device, and you guys got something new. It's virtual FIPS. So, Mark, what's the big deal behind being virtual? Why would my listeners even care?
Well, I think, as many of your audience knows, FIPS stands for Federal Information Processing Standard. And that usually applies to certification of the hardware, the software, and the firmware that perform the cryptographic functions. What we've done is we've taken the FIPS capabilities in our appliances, in our physical appliances, and reduced them into a virtualized version. So you take appliances out of the stack, out of your technology stack. So that's size, weight, power, cooling, and eventually money. So it's very important that I think we've responded to what the users have requested and virtualized our FIPS capabilities.
That's good. You know, Lou, I talked earlier about when I was young taking all these silly tests. I had to take tests about Windows NT. Remember Windows NT?
Absolutely.
It was a pretty good system. I liked it. It was a lot of commands and everything. But I want to talk about WinT. Not the NT, just WinT. So what is WinT anyway? What's that
mean to
you guys?
That's the Warfighters Information
Network Tactical.
There you go.
Oh. So that's a way that the Army in particular distributes information around the battlefield between the enterprise users back in CONUS and then all their deployed sites downrange.
Hmm. So if you're in the military and listen to this radio show, this is going to be something of value to you to remember.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I just came back from SOCOM's annual conference in Tampa, and there's a big and growing requirement to move more actionable intelligence downrange to users on the tactical edge. And those guys are making some really important decisions in some of the worst places you can imagine. They're usually over a constrained, limited bandwidth satellite connection, very sporadic communications. But so it's very important that they have the same capabilities and access to applications that the folks have back in the rear in CONUS.
You know, my son has friends who are in the Special Forces. Whenever they're over the house, I say, well, Lansing, where were you? Can't say. Where are you going? Can't say. I say, boy, that guy's got a problem with geography. How can he be Special Forces? But anything that can help the edge, I think. You know, we think about the edge here domestically, but I think in a military situation, the edge is important to protect, isn't it?
Absolutely. So, in the decision making process, on the battlefield or with the warfighter, a lot of that happens at the edge, where at the tip of the spear, for lack of a better term. You know, can you imagine being in a scenario where it's a go no go for whatever the mission might be, and you're sitting and waiting and waiting and waiting for a decision or for information to flow to you to make that decision, and that's one of the things that. That we've been responsive to from a tactical standpoint is putting the power, putting the information, and putting the security closer to the folks that are making those decisions or executing those decisions, rather than kind of a centrally managed type of architecture.
My son's friend talks about the training. These guys got to put like 50-pound packs on and go up and down mountains, and anything you can do to make that pack lighter make them more effective,
sure.
Isn't it?
Right. Instead of lugging around a 10-pound box or a couple of them. Now you've got a virtualized capability. It takes the weight off. It also it cuts down on your logistics trail as well. So you don't have to take the air conditioning, the cooling, the power that you'd normally have to support multiple appliances.
I'm using a big fancy word here, Lou, and you can tell me what it means. You know, I had a friend in graduate school. He had a big photograph of a symphony orchestra, and he used to imagine he was a conductor, and he loved music. But there's something called orchestration involved called SSL orchestration. So what the heck is that? Oh, maybe Mark can handle that one.
Well, the SSL orchestration, really, when you're there's a growing trend in all of your web traffic being secure socket layer, SSL. Our capability to manage that SSL traffic, inspect it, decide whether it needs to go over to a intrusion detection device, or it can go through, pass on into the enterprise, and then back out to the users. It's very important. We've taken that capability from our appliances and then virtualized it, and it's now going to be available to those users that are downrange and on that forward edge, like Lou talked about.
Well, Lou, I'm going to ask the obvious question, the 500-pound elephant in the room. Going to take a speed hit with all this stuff, aren't we? I mean, you're inspecting packets. It's going to slow things down. And that's how can that benefit the warfighter if it slows things down?
Logically, you would think that. But based on our operating system, which we call TMOS, which is something that has been organically built by F5, that is not the case. We actually have a positive impact on latency. And when combined that with a positive impact on security, availability, a negative impact on cost, cooling, power, we think it's it's kind of a perfect storm for the tactical edge.
Well, Dan, I'm going to go from orchestras to healthcare. When I think about apps, there's a phrase that I've done some research on. It's called app health monitoring. Is that like blood pressure? So what is app health monitoring? Is that even something you should be considered about here?
Yeah, so it's kind of a basic term to make sure that the application or the hardware/software that the application resides on is up and functional. So we've got the ability to ping that that server or set of servers to make sure it's there. And then if we get a positive result, then we continue to pass traffic. But if there's a negative result or issues within line speed or other things, our natural operating system, or TMOS again, which is at the very core of what we're doing from a load balancing standpoint, we've got the ability to reroute that traffic either domestically or globally, depending on where your the other instance may sit.
And that's I was going to say, that's just very important to the tactical users downrange, because the normally every morning, most of the G6's CIOs will get their report of how their network is performing. One of the things they haven't been able to see or predict is how that performance affects those downrange users. And with our virtual edition, they're able to see what the experience, user experience was like downrange, and then be able to tweak those apps and the performances to help those guys get better services.
Yeah, it's more than just looking at it and saying go, no go. It's the ability to impact now, which is something that we're excited about.
And I think if I was sitting in the metro and talking to someone and I said F5 networks, they'd say load balancer. that's the first flash on. However, this is just so much more than it takes load balancing and just assumes load balancing and says, okay, well, now we got it balanced. Now it's taken and amplify that and modify that. Would you agree, Dan?
I would. That's the nature of what we do as a full proxy in the network architecture. We've got a 70% market share as well for the federal space, which, you know, when you look at where we're deployed and the areas we're deployed, we are able to leverage that from a load balancing perspective to do consolidation into additional modules that we can offer to help, you know, reduce costs overall and provide more value rather than having to train seven different folks that would be experts in each piece of technology. You know, you can now have a single F5 expert that would run through everything and your mean time to repair and deployment is reduced.
So, Dan, I was in Denver over the weekend. I gave a workshop, and the participants got CE, continuing education credits. That was a big deal. They want to have that. In fact, they came 2 days early just to get all these CE credits. And I'm familiar with classroom situations. But this event that's coming up, they can maybe if a listener now is using F5 networks, may not understand some of the capabilities it has, they can go to this event and learn more and get trained. So there's training right there, almost like CE, huh?
Absolutely. I believe you get some credits for this as well, just for attending. Which is a fantastic value add. You'll not only get the expertise of our team and some of the new solutions that you'll get to learn about, as well as the speakers. You know, you walk away More focused on your CE.
And my guess is it's like getting a car and not knowing where the air conditioning button is or right. not knowing where the rear defroster is. And then your wife gets in the car and says, it's right there, John. They may be using F5 networks now and not be using all the capabilities.
Yeah, we find that in a lot of cases when we are out speaking to our even our systems integrators that we work with, the majority of folks are completely coherent with our load balancing solution. And then we spend, you know, in some cases we spend 3 days with them in boot camp type scenarios, and we'll find them all walking away with, I didn't know I could actually use this type of technology to deploy with, and I already have it in my stack, in my environment.
And I think that's the key is that, well, we've already paid for this. We're just not taking advantage of all the capabilities because there have been upgrades that they may or may not be aware of. Right, Lou?
Absolutely. The fastest growing part of our business is the authentication space, and that's the module that we'll call it APM. Is easily the most relevant to the federal technology professional. Handling anything from with cloud brokerage to just simple straightforward VPN type stuff. It's a hyper relevant technology to our customer base.
A lot of people are trying to get away from passwords. They're talking about single sign-on and all kinds of different authenticities. Let's take a break and come back, talk more about apps and security and efficiently handling them in many different environments. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Dan Beeman, Lou Giglio, Mark Fornoy, the Dream Team from F5 Networks. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we got the Dream Team from F5 Networks. We have Dan Beeman, Lou Giglio, and Mark Fornoy. We've been talking about apps, app security. We touched on firewalls, web application firewalls, encrypting, decrypting, taking a look and inspecting traffic. But if you want to learn more, and there are many of my listeners who are wary of picking up the phone or maybe wary of sending email, you can go to an event and grab Lou by the tie and say, come here, buddy, I got a question for you. And what about this event? When's it coming up, Lou?
June 22nd at the museum in D.C. We're going to have some fairly high-profile keynote speakers, father of federal cloud, FBI's special agent in charge of cyber, and then we're going to have plenty of training opportunities and opportunities to understand the product line and technology a little bit better.
You know, when the FBI stands up and talks, all of a sudden the coffee starts rattling, and Lou gets off the phone, and shut up, John, and listen to this guy, because this guy's going to have some insight, because, you know, he could talk about a threat that just happened within the last 48 hours.
That's right.
And what's going to happen? Who knows? WannaCry, this, that, that's little baby stuff compared to really what's going on. I think that's the fascinating part of this. You know, I go to events all the time. I go to Microsoft events, I go to AWS. There's all kinds of vendors that my listeners can use to get in and out of the cloud. And so I guess the question is, you know, what kind of control, what kind of opportunities does F5 Networks provide for my listeners getting in and out of different clouds?
Our App Connector allows control of your public cloud app services such as SSL, app protection, and access control. Whether you're auto-discovering new workloads in your cloud environment or you're migrating workloads to any public cloud, you can deploy and manage your app security services and footprint in one cloud interconnect or data center.
I think, let me read between the lines here. Let's say that you get encouraged to move to the cloud, you move to the cloud, and you got your F5 gear and you're all secure, and then maybe it's not priced the way you thought it was going to be priced, and you may want to switch. And so what F5 allows you, that flexibility, is you can take your security with you and move it from one environment to the next pretty easily.
Yeah, that's right. So one of the new buzzwords that folks are using in discussing cloud environments and where you can save money, scale, gain efficiencies, is arbitrage. And because most folks are either in two cloud environments or are headed to two cloud environments, our technology gives our customers the ability to arbitrage between the three instances where they may live. So take Azure and Amazon as the two cloud environments, and then your own data center. So based on time of day, based on available bandwidth, based on processing power, based on any one of a number of criteria, you can then leverage our technology to arbitrage between the cloud environments and your on-prem data center.
Mark, arbitrage, that's not a word a Marine would use, is it?
No, but it's really relevant to the CIO and the CISO. So he can manage his cost, he can manage his operational expense, and he can set a baseline for how he's going to provide services and scalability to his users.
Well, you've seen it right from the mud and the dirt to the high levels. So where do you see this whole environment working in the next 4 or 5 years? You see, are things going to adapt, is it plateau, or what do you see happening in the next few years? Just from your perspective, because you've been there, buddy. You've been on the ground.
Well, John, I think one thing is for sure, that the threat landscape is going to continue to grow and proliferate, from insider threat to individual criminals just doing it for monetary gain, and then saw the rise of state and nation actors. So we're going to need to work on mitigating those threats as much as possible, and I think F5 is a key initiative that a key tool that CIOs and CISOs can use to mitigate those threats.
There's a phrase used called lift and shift. It's used in IT, and I'm using it in marketing, where you can lift and shift a podcast from one company to another. So lift and shift, born the cloud. Any limitations for F5? You can't use it for one, can't use the other? Will we just work behind the firewall?
No, I would say that we take the lift out of it, and it just becomes shift, right?
Take the lift out.
Absolutely. So, I mean, that's essentially what our technology is enabling our customers to do. There's no more lifting. It's just a simple shift.
So lift could be a four-letter word. LIFT.
Very, who knows? Yeah, very.
So, Dan, where do you see this head in the next few years?
Yeah, I'd agree with Mark, on certain insider threat pieces. I think you look at the market and where we are today, mobility won't go away. We're getting more and more into smart connected devices, and those can then even become your insider threat, because those can be attacked or vectored into. Software-based solutions, they're on the rise, our virtual editions. That's why we're putting the FIPS compliance on that, and we're seeing more adoption of that. So as the cloud grows, we'll see where F5 and where the market heads. I wish I had a crystal ball, but it's been a good technology run so far, and I'm enjoying learning about that too.
You just dawned on me when you said that FIPS. I thought of one of my son's friends in a mountain somewhere, and maybe for the last 2 or 3 years they've said, "Well, geez, I wish I could have had this increased security, but we can't drag the server along with us." But now what's happening today is with the virtual FIPS. When this guy's out, and these guys, they're in mountains all the time. This guy could be in a mountain somewhere. I go, phew, at least I'm nowhere secure, because we could bring this with us where before we couldn't. So that's the whole value of FIPS being virtualized, huh?
Globally, yeah. As long as it's in the appropriate data center and cloud environment, yep, you can take it wherever you want to go.
Well, Lou, we're going to do Stump the Chump. You ready?
Let's do it.
Okay, here's Stump the Chump. All kinds of stuff. I learned about SSL, learned about TLS. But what about this WebSocket TLS-ECC communication? What the heck is that?
It's an abbreviation for authentication.
So it's
one of a few authentication mechanisms that folks are using today. And I guess the primary point in bringing it up or discussing it is that it really doesn't matter what you're using to authenticate, whether run your list, SAML, OAuth, single sign-on, CAC, PIV, you name it, the F5 Big IP, both virtually and our hardware solutions can handle it.
So it gives more flexibility to users.
Absolutely. We can front-end any authentication type that's out there.
And is this a flexibility been a recent accomplishment? Have you added these in the past couple of years? Or?
Yeah, we've had this as a core part of our lineup, but the virtual edition from a FIPS standpoint is brand new, like we've discussed, and we really feel like that's going to help impact the tactical folks out there.
Yeah, it's you just said lineup again. Go back to the baseball analogy. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, you got someone sitting on the bench you didn't even know was there. You can actually bring them in the game and maybe win something as far as web applications go.
Absolutely.
Yes, Dan. Oh, I thought you wanted to contribute to that discussion about complex terms.
Nah, Lou's got it.
So, Mark, when you go to this event, what are you going to ask the FBI guy? What, you can raise your hand and kind of quiz him, or what do you think he's going to talk about?
Well, I'm going to try to get my head around what he worries about when he falls asleep every night, as far as what he's not able to see and what activity he wishes he could monitor and track against these threats. So I think that the entire community will be interested in seeing his perspective on that, and I think it'll be a good event to come in and gain some knowledge and insight into what keeps them up at night.
Yeah. So, if Lou, if you're at the event, you got a little name tag on, they heard you on the radio, the big booming voice, and they walk up to you, and they talk about service lock-in. That, we just touched on that earlier about, you know, being locked into a certain vendor and whatnot. So so you can almost take your – I saw a job advertised for the weekend. Mechanic wanted must bring own tools. So what you can be is you can have your own app and you can bring your own tools with you to whatever environment happens to work. And there could be price changes from one environment to the next. And so you have to use that fancy word arbitrage, don't you?
Absolutely, yeah. So that's – you know, one of the primary drivers of going to cloud is the cost savings associated with, right? You
don't have assuming the cost savings,
right.
Yeah.
You know, you typically think of power, cooling, you know, all the things that, that Mark kind of touched on earlier. But, you know, based on usage, based on time of day, you know, based on available throughput, processing power, those costs vary. And it would be a very helpful tool to most CIOs, CFOs, anybody that's concerned with a technology budget, to be able to exert as much control over those costs as possible. So, you know, aside from all the controls and security and other mechanisms that we can exert technically, we can also help kind of define and control costs as well.
Dan Beeman, I had a satellite company in the studio a couple months back called Inmarsat, and they talked about high availability for satellite services. What seems applied for the services that F5 can help? Can help provide this availability, can't it?
Absolutely. You can have it chained together. You can have it in a virtual environment. You can have it on-prem in your data center. And that's the great thing about our app connector as well, is it allow you to really just move those applications as quickly and spin them up as quickly as possible in any environment. So yeah, this is definitely a high availability solution.
Well, it's all about the apps, and that's what we're talking about. I'd like to thank my guest today. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Had a long discussion about apps, app security, flexibility, new ways to handle them, an event that's coming up. You can learn more. Our guests today have been Dan Beeman, Lou Giglio, and Mark Fornoy, and they're all from F5's Dream Team. Thank you, gentlemen.
Sounds great to be with you today. Thank you. Sir.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.